Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
At this point, it's somewhere around 12 million people that need food aid after rains again for the second year running did not fall in the Horn of Africa. Somalia, Ethiopia, Djibouti, Eritrea, Kenya, all affected by drought. Somalia may already be on the verge of famine, a famine that already hit the country just two decades ago. The World Food Program says more than 110,000 people are in camps in southeastern Ethiopia, and more than 1,600 arrive every day, many of them showing signs of severe malnutrition. Joining us now, Anne Mwathe, is a reporter for the BBC African Service, and she's in Kenya, just returning from the Somalian border. Anne, can you tell us what you saw there in some of the camps and along the border?
Yes, along the border, we saw lots of Somalis who were crossing from the Somali side, crossing on to Kenya, hoping that this is the place where they are going to get relief. They are going to get some form of food. They are going to get water. And they've been traveling. They've been crossing that border in their thousands. The figure that was given to us by the UNHCR was a figure of about 1,300 people crossing from Somalia into Kenya every day. But I bet that figure could be much higher. What we saw at the border were hordes of people just crossing over onto the Kenyan side, some with their camels, some were coming with the few goats that they had left. We met one woman who had delivered the previous night, and she was seated under an acacia tree. That's where she delivered, and she had nothing much to eat. She had only taken a cup of black tea and tied a piece of cloth around her waist so that the pangs of hunger were not going to bite so hard. So this is just an indication of the desperation that these people are facing once they cross onto the Kenyan border. Because at the town center where we were yesterday evening, it is called Liboi. From that point, by the time they get to the Dab refugee camp, it's about 100 kilometers. It is another hard journey to walk through. And if you have nothing to eat, if you have nothing to drink, it can be a very long journey, sometimes very dangerous. We've had accounts of people, women who've left their children along the way. Some died along the way and they left them. One of the women told us that she left her child because he was too ill to make the journey over to the Kenyan side. And so she still is haunted by the eyes of her child because she felt very guilty that she left that child. But then she asked us, you know, what was she to do? She had other children, and she wanted that the healthy ones, at least, who could make the journey to the Dab refugee camp, that they could make it. At the camps also, when they get there, there's lots of overcrowding. Sometimes it can take up to 12 days for them to get at least food, the first ration of food, and 12 days for somebody who has been traveling for over 40 days. Others have told us that they've been traveling for like 50 days. By the time they get that food, often it is too late. We've seen graves in these camps. We've heard of accounts where the local leaders are organizing that the refugees who've been at the Dadaab refugee camp for much longer can donate whatever it is that they have so that they can salvage the little children who are coming in, very emaciated, most of them very malnourished. I saw a child who was just staring at one place. I could see he was crying, but there was no voice coming out. The picture we are getting, we got at the Dab refugee camp was that of desperation. Aid workers are trying hard. Some of them were telling us that they've not been taking a break. Some of them are working for 7 days on a row, and they're also very strained because they're working with the same resources that they were working with before the influx of the refugees started. And so most of the calls from these people, even without them telling you, is that the sooner they get food, especially, the sooner they get medical care, the better for everybody. Because once they get to the Kenyan side, there is a lot of overcrowding, and most of them anyway are living now on the periphery of the refugee camps. Remember, these are holding about 370,000 refugees currently. These camps were built to hold 90,000 people, so the capacity is already very high. And therefore, most of them are hoping that UNHCR will be able to expand the refugee camps so that the ones who are coming in at least have somewhere to stay and that there is a decent way of taking care of their plight, other than what we saw, where some of them are sleeping in the open with very little children. Some of these children have had nothing to eat. And the desperation also, according to the non-governmental organizations, can be averted if there was help that is coming from the Kenyan government and also the aid organizations, that they can transport the refugees to the camp once they get to the Kenyan border.
We're speaking with Anne Mwathe. She's a reporter for the BBC African Service. She's speaking to us from Kenya. That's why the line is a little shaky there, although you can hear the horrifying story she has to tell coming back from the Somalia border. Thank you so much, Anne. And this drought and famine going on in Africa, this is Mike Sunderland of Save the Children speaking to the BBC.
Children are fleeing Somalia, having walked for over a month, sometimes in searing heat, with feet covered in sores and blood from the walk, and on occasion, unfortunately, also arriving without parents or family members. Then to arrive at a place like Dadaab, which is overcrowded to a massive extent, is not the ideal circumstance.
At this point, officials say that more than 12 million people are being affected by drought and famine. The difficulty is that for many of them, as you heard Anne talking about, the terrible condition that many of them are in when they finally reach the camps, visibly malnourished, some of the children close to or nearing death. The problem is there's not enough food even when they get to the camps to go around. Here's one doctor speaking about the condition of some of the patients he's treated.
You will see the changes on their body. They have swollen feet, the swollen lower limbs, and most of them, if you weigh them, they have very low weight.
It's very difficult to get food into some of these camps. 50 trucks a month make the trip, but we're talking about a remote region in some of these cases, bringing food from Djibouti to the Ethiopian town of Nazareth in some places, which is close to the Kenyan border. It's a 10-day trip, very difficult to get food in there. And at this point, international aid agencies are calling on more charitable donations and calling on a larger effort to get more food into these camps. They say it could be a worse drought and a worse disaster than the one we saw in Ethiopia in the 1980s.